Hi there, this is Damish Modi for CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7. Hope you're having a great day. This piece features an interview with Spectrum of Waterloo Region President Kate Glasson. Spectrum is Waterloo Region's first rainbow LGBTQ community space. Glasson and I discussed Waterloo Region and the actions that have been taken to recognize Pride Month this June. The interview took place on June 22nd. Glasson says there's more work to be done, but positive strides have been made of late, including the Waterloo Region Catholic District School Board raising the Pride flag for the first time this year.
Kate, has Spectrum been happy with what Waterloo Region has done in recent years, specifically this year, in terms of recognizing Pride Month?
Absolutely. We've been pleased to see that both local school boards have raised the Pride flag this year. That's been a nice change. And, you know, we've got recognition throughout the region. Obviously, with the pandemic, things have been a little quieter than we'd like in terms of having a Pride festival. But we've had a number of online events organized by Spectrum and by other organizations in the city to celebrate Pride Month. The libraries have done various things and so on. So that's been really good. I've been part of panels and speeches and all kinds of things that have been organized for this month. So yeah, we get, I think, a lot to do in this region during Pride Month.
Right. What do you think can be further done, not only by, I guess, government entities, but people themselves to stress the importance of the month and inclusivity?
I think there's two things. One is to always remember that it is also Indigenous History Month. And that, I think, is something we need to remember. You know, when I give a talk, as I did last week, on the history of queer folk in this region, I can only go back so far because settler culture erased the queer folk who were here before, right? We took their history away and we just threw it out. So I can't speak to their experience because of that. And I think that that's a big loss. So I think the intersection of those identities really matters as well. But as far as what we can do, you know, I would like to see, maybe even during Pride Month, a small unit taught in our high school history classes on Pride, on queer history, you know? Things like why Stonewall and Pride was a riot originally and not a party, and things like that, that people understand we had to fight for our rights. It wasn't just something that we woke up and was given to us one day. You know, there was a long fight and a lot of people worked really hard to get us to where we are today. So it's something I'm constantly aware of as an activist, and I have been for 30 years, that I stand on the shoulders of giants. Without them, I wouldn't have been able to free to do what I did. And I'm hoping that what I'm doing creates space for other people to do even more later. Right? That's how it works.
Right. As a trans woman yourself, how far along do you think this community and this country is in terms of full acceptance of the LGBTQ plus community?
We're getting there. I would say, and I usually do say, that trans people are about 20 to 25 years behind gay people in a level of acceptance. So we see, for instance, that groups that used to be filled with parents and friends of lesbians and gays for support are now full of parents of trans kids. Because that's who's experiencing difficulty these days. Most of the kids with alternate sexualities, they're not having a problem with this. It's trans kids and I should stress that it's not transness that's the problem. It's people's reactions to transness that remain a problem, right? Now, generally speaking, I would say that even in the time since I transitioned, things have gotten 20 times better. I mean, it's night and day. It's night and day. Back when I transitioned nearly 30 years ago, you went stealth, you hid all the time. And now I'm on the cover of newspapers talking about being trans. So it's right. a little different, you know? And I couldn't have done that 30 years ago.
Right. So you're saying essentially we're getting there, we're on the right path?
I would say so. I would say so. It's not perfect by any stretch, but, you know, I mean, when I say that it's better, there are ways in which it's better. There are ways in which it's worse, right? To be a trans kid now is to be somebody who grew up on the internet, right? So you probably have, you know, these kids probably have their baby pictures on the internet, including pictures of them as infants and small children and so on and so on. So if they don't transition till they're 14 or 15 or 16, well, their name is out there and their pictures are out there and everything else is out there. There's no escaping their past, right? There's no disappearing the fact that they're trans anymore. It's going to be with them forever. So that's something that's a freedom that I had. 30 years ago, there wasn't enough presence on the internet for myself to be a presence. So there is no presence of my old self on the internet, and I got to just erase that, right? And today, the other thing is that if you were a trans kid in 1992, you left the bullying at school, right? Now kids carry the bullying around in their pockets, and it's with them all the time. They go home and check their phone, and there it is again and again and again. And that, I think, that inescapable nature of the bullying these days is a real change that makes their lives so much worse than ours were.
Today, I'm speaking to Spectrum President Kate Glasson.
Do you think that social media makes things harder in that way for kids that are trans?
It doesn't. I mean, like everything, it's got two sides, right? I mean, it makes things worse in the ways that I've already described, but it also makes things better in that you can find your community. You know, if you are somebody who is an asexual, aromantic, lesbian, trans woman, right? You can find your community online of people who have exactly that set of qualities and who want to meet other people who are like them. So it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's like anything else. There's nothing that's all one way and all the other.
Right. And if you're willing to share with us, can you tell us about when you knew that you were a woman?
When I was 4, I knew. And it wasn't until I was 26 that I was able to transition. So, and that was almost 30 years ago. And it was hard. I mean, there was conversion therapy in between there. There was joining the military and being thrown out of the military, and all kinds of things happened between the one and the other. But yeah, it took that time. And, you know, in 1992, when I transitioned, I lost everything. I lost my job, my family, my home, everything. But I still reckon it's the best decision I ever made, right? My family didn't talk to me for 12 years. Some of them still haven't talked to me in nearly 30. That's life. I'm not going to change who I am just to make sure that people who don't want me in their life want me in their life.
Right. And what made you decide to work with Spectrum?
Well, it was really when I retired about 7 years ago. I had to retire because of disability from my former profession. And because of that, I decided that it was time to find something to do. And because I'm on disability, I wanted to do something that gave back to the community. So in doing so, I thought, well, maybe I'll just start volunteering. And so now I volunteer probably 30 hours a week about that. So I feel like I'm giving back for what you know, the province is supporting me. The people of the province are supporting me at the moment. It's my way of giving back to the community so that it's not a one-way street.
Right. So you mentioned earlier about the school board. So the Waterloo Region Catholic District School Board raised a pride flag for the first time.
They did.
This in 21. So is this a good first step? And how pleased were you to see that that change from previous years?
Oh, I think it's a terrific first step. I'm, you know, it's one that it would have been nice to see a long time ago, but it's also very nice to see it now. And, you know, people arrive at the places we want them to be when they arrive there. And I think you have to greet them when they get there, not when you wish they got there.
Just in question in terms of youth sports, there's been a lot of talk about trans girls being allowed to play in girls sports and all that sort of thing in the news over the last bit. So what's your take on that?
Well, as far as trans people taking over sport, when I was, let me think, it was France 1998, so I was 32. When I was 32, I started playing soccer in this region on a women's team. And I played until I was 47. And not one of my teammates ever complained or said, you know, my goodness, you're too strong or too fast or too good for this or anything like it, right? Because this myth of superiority, it's really, after you transition, believe me, it goes away. It goes away so fast. And with trans kids, especially ones who are allowed to take puberty blockers, they never develop the advantage in the first place. That's what puberty blockers are for, right? That's why we let kids who are under 10 compete together, because before puberty, there's no difference between them, right? But if you put a trans girl through the right puberty, right? So she takes, what are they calling, cross-sex hormones, right? She goes through puberty with estrogen. She's going to develop a body that is the same as other girls, right? So she's not going to have any big advantage. And I think for me, the biggest piece of evidence is this. The Olympics has allowed trans athletes to compete since 2004, all right? In that time, there have been, I've seen the estimate, about 58,000 Olympic athletes. Do you know how many of them have been transgender?
How many?
Take a guess.
I'd say maybe 15?
Zero.
Oh, wow.
Not one. Not one person has qualified for the Olympics in 17 years of trans people trying. Now, just about 2 days ago, a weightlifter from New Zealand qualified for the Olympics that will be held this summer in Japan. She will be the first transgender woman to compete in the Olympics. There were a couple of trans men who were already going to be competing this year. But this year is the first year that trans people have qualified for those Olympics. The people who are making a big deal out of this don't have any examples of this actually happening, right? They all point to this one case in Division C high school athletics in Connecticut, I think it was, with one athlete. But if you look at her time, she's about 2 or 3 seconds in the 400 and 800 meter off the state record for girls. So she's not dominant. And she's not taking over women's sport. So we're trying to solve a problem that isn't happening. If it happens, then we'll talk about it. But it's not happening.
So just switching gears to Spectrum. So how has the organization been able to adapt, not only during Pride Month, but over the last year due to the pandemic? And has there been a lot of events, I guess, put together by Spectrum?
Not so much one-off events, because we see ourselves as more of a community center. We do a lot of of regular programming, right? So we have like 9 trans peer support groups that meet per month, and things like that. So when we closed the space, we immediately moved online. We bought a Zoom account that day, like early in March, and moved our spaces online. It took maybe 6 weeks or so for the people to really get that we had done so and move online with us. But for the most part, almost every program that we offered before COVID, we still offer now. It's just virtual. And in fact, it's been so popular, not only are we getting people from the local region, but we're getting people from Atlantic Canada, from the US. We've had people from overseas, in sub-Saharan Africa. We've had people from all over the place come to our meetings, because they're open to the public. So, you know, that's the nice thing about a virtual meeting. You can come from anywhere. So when we move back into our space, we have plans already, and we're looking for funding to make sure this happens, to build the space up in such a way that we are able to have mixed virtual and physical meetings for the future, so that whenever we have a meeting, it's available virtually as well as physically.
All right, Kate, I think that's all I have in terms of questions. Is there anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
No, just trust trans kids. They know what they need. Trust them. Trust them. They're not lying to you. They trust them. You'll save their lives.
Today I spoke to Spectrum President Kate Glasson. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, please email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. For CKMS Radio Waterloo 102.7, this is Naimish Modi. Hope you have a great day.